The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Navigating Your Life Show, featuring host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. In the next hour, the goal of the show is to help you with the challenges facing you and potentially change your life forever. Now here's Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. We have an exciting show today. We are going to be talking about yoga and the benefits of participating in it and understanding a little bit about its origins and its background as well. And we have with us this morning Megan Ridge, who is going to help us through this conversation. And let me give you a little bit of a biographical overview of Megan. After graduating from college with a degree in theater, Megan landed her first acting internship. And part of being an intern was she was required to have weekly yoga. And for her, that very first class changed her life. And so she'll talk with us about that. She went on to receive her training of over 200 hours. From the Yoga Loft of Bethlehem in Pennsylvania in May of last year. She teaches classes beginning level and to individuals who are interested and also does private sessions as well. So without further ado, we have Megan Ridge with us this morning. So hello, Megan.
Hello, Dr. Williams.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Good. I thought in our first part of our conversation that we could talk a little bit about what is yoga. And I think people have heard different definitions as time has gone on. I tried to do some research myself and found so many different various interpretations of where it came from, its origins. But just for our listeners, if you can give us a simple understanding of what is yoga, that would be appreciative.
Sure. Well, yoga means unity or yoking, and there are a lot of different parts to yoga other than just the poses that we do in the classes here in America. It has a lot to do with mindfulness and overall health and well-being rather than just a physical exercise, although there are many physical benefits as you continue on with a physical practice. It goes way back, you know, like thousands and thousands of years, and it has been perfected over time, and it's kind of new to the Western world. I mean, a couple guys brought it over from India. Iyengar is BKS Iyengar is a big name in yoga because he brought his style to the West, and Ashtanga was brought to the West as well, and from a lot of these forms came a lot of different styles of yoga. So there's hundreds and hundreds of styles, and if the listeners are interested, I could explain a little bit about some of those different styles. It's important to do the research if you've never tried yoga before to know what you're getting into when you go into a class so you can have a positive experience.
Sure. Now, was in my reading, I recognized that at one time, yoga was more of a meditation, and I think as you're describing it, is now turned into more where there are poses involved. Is my understanding of that correct, or?
Well, part of yoga is meditation. We do all of these poses essentially so we can sit for longer periods of time, whether that be for meditation, contemplation, prayer, whatever it is. So we need to open these parts of our bodies that are tight or congested so that we can sit for longer periods of time.
So the the meditation aspect, could you explain that a little further? What is all involved in that?
Sure. Well, there are eight limbs of yoga, eight stages of yoga, and meditation, I believe, is either the sixth or seventh stage. And there are various different ways to meditate. You know, some people find it very helpful to place a mantra to their meditation, you know, something to think in their head as they breathe in and out so they can stay focused on their meditation. There's guided meditation, and you don't necessarily have to be seated to meditate. Yoga is also meditation in motion. You know, these poses that I was talking about, when you start to get a better sense of the practice, it can become, a moving meditation. So there's a lot of different ways to meditate that would be appropriate to a specific personality, because I know it can be very hard for someone to just sit, even for 5 minutes. It's a hard thing to do in our society. So the poses actually prepare us for that kind of intimacy with ourselves.
And so is the meditation first or the posing first, or is there a variation or a combination where you're doing one or the other based on some criteria? How does the flow of the session go generally?
Well, according to the eight limbs, asana or poses are first. Meditation comes after, but it's not so important. You know, it depends on what the person's needs are. You know, there are people out there that benefit a lot more from meditation over the poses. But sometimes it's hard for people to get to that place of meditation without the poses. So it's really an individual decision, you know. I think
So there are some guidelines, but those guidelines are not as rigid and don't really prohibit a person adding what they may feel would be beneficial to them. Am I correct?
Yeah, and yoga is all about, you know, what's best for you. And the great thing about it is that if you go into a class, you know, here in the West, you know, you don't have to do anything that we're leading in the class. You know, it has to be appropriate to you, to your level of experience. And so when you're doing research about going into a yoga class, think about, you know, do I have any injuries or ailments? So maybe if that's so, you start with a gentle class where there's more breath work, more gentle, slow movement. If you are physically fit and you want to try yoga for the first time, you might go into a level one class and just to get the feel of what that's like. And if you're very strong and flexible already, you may start to move forward or up in levels very quickly. But the main thing, it's not about achieving anything or getting it right, because yoga is a lifelong endeavor. It's something that hopefully you'll want to do for the rest of your life.
Now, just recognizing the tremendous challenges that people are under and the pace of life that you mentioned earlier in your comments, how are you finding that people make the room in their life to slow things down, to be able to make the time for yoga? How are you finding that people come to yoga? What generally is an awakening for them to consider this as an option?
Mm-hmm. Well, many of my students come in with different injuries or ailments, you know, fibromyalgia, sciatica, rotator cuff injuries, recovery from knee surgery, you know, back pain, stress, anxiety, insomnia, depression, I mean, all of these things. So they come to heal, and it may have developed because they haven't taken the time to slow down, and now they're at a place where they've hit a wall, and it's like, well, either this is going to continue to define my life, or I'm going to have to find a practice, a daily practice that's going to help me to stay grounded and centered so that I can continue my life happily. And so it's usually that kind of circumstance, or some people just kind of hear about it and they're interested, so they think that they'll stop in. And, And eventually, you just kind of want to make the time for it, because beyond the physical, after a while, you may start to feel like, you know, happy for no reason at all, and a deeper sense of compassion for yourself and for others, and a sense of peace in a time of chaos, which, you know, our whole lives are, it's just chaos. And so we need to be able to step back from that to determine a general sense of well-being. And this comes naturally over time. It deepens your level of commitment to practice.
And one of the things that I picked up, Megan, in my reading was that yoga is not something that you like, you know, the world is going crazy around you, and then you say, okay, fine, I'm going to stop and I'm going to do yoga. It appeared to me that it was more of a preventive rather than a reactive kind of exercise or part of your life. Is that a correct take or not?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's being able to live your daily life with all of the things that are happening, but just being able to approach it from a different perspective. So instead of reacting, you can just be.
And so give me an example. We have about 2 minutes until we take a break, but give me an example of how a person may deal with, let's say someone walks in and says the report that you worked on so hard is just not up to snuff. Give me, I know this is overgeneralization, but with a person who is participating in yoga versus a person that is not, how may their response be different?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I can, you know, speak for other people, but I know in my experience, you know, previous to yoga, if I received, you know, news like that, you know, it may have been like instantly to crying, because that's what I do, you know, like that's my reactive thing, you know, even in times of anger or happiness or, you know, sadness, it's like that's my first instinct. But, you know, now it's kind of like you can hear information and you step back from it and you take a moment to breathe. And it's the breath that changes everything. When you can, instead of letting that storyline get completely out of hand and starting to think that you're a failure or all the things that you're doing are worth nothing, you have to stop that conversation and say, okay, this isn't necessarily defining who I am, this report or this project. I just need to take a few breaths and get back to my center and then not react, but act on what needs to be done next.
So it allows you to get more focused and concentrate on what's ahead of you than what is behind you.
Well, and just being present, you know, not worrying about the future necessarily or the past, but being able to be present is the big goal.
We'll continue this conversation after our break.
Sure.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Hey, Dad.
What?
can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back, and we're having a conversation today with Megan Ridge, who is a yoga instructor and providing some insights to us today about the practice of yoga. One of the questions that I'd like to ask you, Megan, is the practice of yoga a religious activity in some parts of the world? And how is that factored in or factored out of the practice of yoga?
Well, I like to stay away from the idea of yoga being a religion, though I think that it can mesh well with any religion.
Okay.
There is always discussion of, something greater than ourselves that's leading us through our lives. And just understanding that for yourself has become important to me through the practice, and my idea of God being, the universe or... just some force that's pulling me in this path in the right direction, but not necessarily defining it. And eventually, you may start to give your practice up to that higher power, because ultimately that is what the practice becomes, giving it up to others, giving it up to something greater than yourself.
Now, with respect to setting up the stage to practice yoga, and again, I'm sure you've suggested and will continue to suggest that you really go with someone that knows their business and it's just not someone that's practicing this off the cuff, that they've gotten their training and they can share with you what that training is. But just to try to give our listeners an overview, is there certain materials that you're encouraged to wear clothing-wise? Are there, I know that there's generally a sitting position. What if you have some limitations on your ability to sit in those positions? Are there some things you can do to accommodate some possible limitations in that area?
Yeah, there's a type of yoga called Iyengar yoga, which deals heavily with props, and part of my training was from Iyengar tradition, and I really encourage that, because it makes the poses accessible to everyone. If you can get, two or three blankets under your hips, then your ability to sit will be greatly improved. There's chair yoga where you don't even have to sit on the floor. If you're in a pose where your hands can't touch the earth, you have blocks to lift the earth up to you. And I think that props are a huge benefit to people starting yoga. I use them all the time still for myself. And as far as clothing goes, it's encouraged that you wear form-fitting clothing so that the instructor can see your body, so that they know you're in the correct alignment. And the body's alignment is very important in the practice. There's a very famous yoga teacher named Judith Lassiter who... She has this great thing. She says, no pain, no pain, meaning no pain, no gain, but her expression is no pain, no pain, because I feel like good teachers take the alignment very seriously so that the student doesn't have to feel any pain. And a good teacher can make the environment very playful in spite of the strict alignment. And that's what's going to make the practice sustainable. And also for, you know, clothing, I would also say if you can stand it, bare feet is best to practice in. But, you know, that's fine if you wear socks.
Megan, explain to me the sitting close to the earth, the alignment. What is the logic behind? I think I can infer what the logic is, but rather than doing that, what is the logic behind that positioning on the floor as well as your alignment of your body?
Yeah, well, you know, sitting close to the earth brings you closer to the earth. And what we're trying to do is get back to ourselves, because it's very easy to completely ignore the body in our day-to-day lives. We've almost taken the body out of everything that we do. And yoga kind of asks us to come back home, come back to our bodies, and start to explore how it moves, how it works, understanding different parts of the body. And when we start to turn inward, you know, that's when the real magic happens. And then we start to feel more connected to the earth. We start to make more conscious, healthy choices in our day-to-day lives that are going to impact other people positively, because, you know, we don't want to be part of the problem. And I hope, does that answer your question?
Thank you. And one other thing, Megan, is about doing it by yourself or with others. Is there a recommended format? Is it something you would have another person with you, or is it something you do by yourself?
Well, it's totally up to you. If you have any specific injuries or ailments or diseases, it would be helpful to go one-on-one, because it may not be appropriate for you to be in a public class at this time. You know, I have privates weekly with a woman who suffered from an autoimmune attack that she had many years ago, and it left her feeling very weak, and holding down dog wasn't really an option for her, which is a very common pose in the practice. And before we started meeting, she had recently developed asthma problems, but about 9 months of gentle practice with her individually, one-on-one, her health and well-being has improved dramatically. She's much stronger and getting more flexible and seems to have a more positive outlook and has taken a real interest in the practice, which is so rewarding to observe as a teacher. And, you know, I've also had privates with a woman recovering from breast cancer, and now she's back in my public classes. She's as healthy as ever. And I'm not saying that yoga is all that you have to do, but I believe it's an important element in recovery.
Wow. All righty. I also, in looking at some of the information, information about a yoga alliance. And what is that about?
Well, the Yoga Alliance wanted to create some kind of a standard for training for instructors, so that people weren't getting instructed without some kind of structure to the classes. So the Yoga Loft, where I got my training, is a Yoga Alliance registered school. And you know, there's a lot of different ideas on certification and whether or not it's really essential. And I can see both sides of it, but I think that it's important to get some training, because without that, we may not be able to understand the alignment as a teacher. We want to be able to look at a body and understand what's happening that could be making the pose dangerous for that person, or and find ways to improve it. And I don't think that I would have been able to walk into a classroom and do that without my training. So I think that the presence of the Yoga Alliance is very important.
Okay. And then you also had talked before a little bit about the concept of your true self. Could you tell us a little bit more about how yoga attempts to help us find out who our true self is?
Yeah. Well, let me start just by talking a little bit about the physical benefits, because that kind of goes into that understanding of our true selves. You know, when you're breathing audibly and deeply, and as you move through poses, you're oxygenating the entire body, which is very energizing. And the focus of the alignment on each pose while maintaining breath keeps the mind from wandering and get you out of your head and into your body. Because, as I said before, it's so easy to get disconnected from your body as we move through our lives. So yoga brings us back. And, you know, physically it gets the lymphatic system moving. It regulates the nervous system. It stretches and strengthens muscles evenly and everything. But once you start to grasp that part of the practice, the things start coming up for you. You know, there are these dark spots in the body, you know, parts that are suffering from injury, areas that are tight or congested. And when you start to open those areas of the body, emotions might start to come up because you're starting to tap into memories or emotions, parts of the things that have happened in your life that are getting stored in your body, traumatic things that may have happened to you in childhood that you may not even remember that clearly anymore. It could be locked somewhere in your body. And when you start to do yoga, you start to open those things. And so you really get to know yourself when you start to move and breathe. And it's that action of moving and breathing together that starts to bring stuff up.
And I also, you said, you wanted to explain the physical benefits before talking further about the true self. Do you want to go ahead and do that now?
Well, the physical benefits, meaning, you know, all the stuff that's happening internally, getting that lymphatic system moving and all that stuff. But, you know, you increase your strength and your flexibility. And
But how do you define, when you say the true self, how do you define that? What is it?
Okay. Your authentic self, you know, I think that we can walk around cloudy, which is, I feel like, what I was doing. You know, I thought that I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my life, and of course I'm very young still, but, you know, I was so set in my patterns and my future that I wasn't really open to exploration. And then when I discovered yoga, I discovered whole new parts of myself. I discovered this area, this side of compassion that, and patience and acceptance that didn't necessarily exist before for me. So I started to tap into a truer part of myself, an authentic part of myself. I started speaking from my heart more than from my head, and started to develop the confidence to do that. And I think that that's a really important thing for us as a society to do, so that we can start to wake up to all of the needs of the world and treat each other more respectfully.
That's important, especially in today's world. We're going to get ready to go to a break. We'll pick up now. The others.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Felzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives as well as assisting others around them. Listen to The Dave Felzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this,
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back. We are with Megan Ridge today, and she's a yoga instructor. And we're going through and deepening our understanding of what yoga is all about. And so, Megan, I think we wanted to describe for our listeners what are the different types of yoga, and then also I'm going to ask you after that, or you may want to segue into that, what are some of the different kind of classes that a center or instructor may have, and how would a person fit in? But let's start first with just talking about the different types.
Okay. So there's a lot of different styles, and within those styles are different levels. So important to do your research before you go into a class. And the first, there are a lot more than what I'm going to talk about here, but just a few. There's Iyengar, which I spoke a little bit about before. The use of props can be very helpful for people that are recovering from injury or just, you know, very tight. Another one is Vinyasa Flow, which is what I teach, and since I had some training in Iyengar in my 200-hour, I like to use a lot of props. So it's a Vinyasa Flow with emphasis on alignment, and Vinyasa means linking movement to breath, and so you're flowing from pose to pose, linking movement to breath, and there are many different levels of that. You know, I teach gentle Vinyasa Flow all the way up through, you know, level 2 or 3. There's Anusara yoga, which has its roots from Iyengar, and that is a big focus on opening the heart. In Anusara yoga, you're opening the heart, and it also still emphasizes alignment very much. There's
Megan, when you say opening the heart, what do you mean? Is it in a sense of compassion and caring, or from that as a as an organ in your body for the flow of blood?
It's hopeful that it starts as physical, you know, the flow of blood opening the heart, but then that it will develop into compassion.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the aim for Anusara. There's Bikram yoga, which is a series of poses done in a very hot room. I think the temperature is 106 degrees. So I only recommend that one if you're physically fit, because that could be a challenging class. There's chance for dehydration, so just be careful if you're going into that one. There's power yoga, which I don't know too much about. There's Ashtanga yoga, which is a series of poses. There's a few series that build as you master the first series, you move on to the second, third, fourth. And That's also flowing. You move very quickly in Ashtanga yoga. There's Svarupa yoga, which is more gentle. You hold poses supported by props for a long period of time. And there's Yin yoga, which is also very gentle. And, you know, I could go on and on and on, but those are probably some of the most popular ones that you'll find in your local studios or YMCAs to look out for. And then within those are, you know, gentle, level one, level two, level three. And if you're just not sure, usually gentle is the best place to start, just to give you a sense of what's right for you.
And Megan, as I assume when you use the term gentle, you're meaning with respect to the rigor of the session and how much activity is going on, or am I...
Yes. Okay. No, that's correct. Yeah, it's much slower moving. I know for myself when I teach gentle, there's a lot more breath work in the beginning and the end. So the emphasis isn't as much about, you know, creating heat in the body as much as it is mindfully, you know, stretching and using the breath. It's much slower pace.
And you had mentioned some of the places where these classes are given. You mentioned the Y's, community center, gyms, and some people are doing these privately in their home or their offices. Please share with our listeners some of the other places that they may go and to find an instructor.
Well, I think you hit on most popular places that you would find yoga, but you know, it's really springing up everywhere now. You know, there's corporate yoga. There are instructors that are coming into offices to teach a group. Just usually, it's, you know, to reduce stress in those situations. But you know, you're hearing about yoga everywhere these days, which is really cool. But the most common places would be in a yoga studio or local gym.
And does that Yoga Alliance website give you names of individuals that are possibly in your community?
It does. It's great for that. It only lists people that are registered with them. So there are people out there that are certified with the Yoga Alliance but may not have registered with them. I think there's a fee for registering for the year. And so one of the best things you can do is just look for yoga in your area doing a search on the internet, and then you can look at their website and you can read on their website about the different styles that they offer and what their levels mean, because everyone kind of has a different idea of what level, you know, 1 through 3 really means. So definitely do your research online.
And you had mentioned earlier some of the different outcomes that people have achieved. You talked about the individual who was suffering with asthma, and some of her rigidity was hampered. But what have been some of the other successful things that you've seen happen for a person that's been involved in yoga?
Well, not only does it heal injuries and illnesses, but the practice can really lift your spirit, and that's the best thing that I've seen in a lot of my students, is that they might come in feeling really down about something or multiple things in their lives, and then when they start practicing regularly, they look brighter and they look taller, you know, and they're happier and they're more outgoing. One of the great things about yoga is that it builds community. You know, a lot of my friends now are yogis just because that's who I've surrounded myself with, and everyone's just so welcoming and eager to build friendships.
Well, Megan, we have a couple of callers, so we're going to try to take them now.
Okay.
We have Kent from San Diego. So, Kent, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Sure. Kent, will you pose your question to Megan?
Sure. I definitely agreed with her on the building community. I did yoga for about 3 months with a friend, and this was my question to you. Do you recommend that, you know, you try to find someone that, you know, you can do it together and it can kind of be something fun you do? We'd go every Saturday morning. It also helped that his girlfriend was the yoga teacher.
That's great.
I found that to kind of be encouraging, especially for maybe a guy, you know, with yoga. They might feel like, well, this is a feminine thing or something. But actually, I really enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, it seems like it's just now starting to grow in popularity for men. I'm assisting a teacher training here, and We actually have four men in our training, which is very rare. And I'm not sure why. You know, I guess it has kind of been labeled as a feminine thing, but especially for men, yes, it would be great to have a buddy. If there is any aversion to going to a public yoga class, there are men's yoga classes out there too, just to start out with. But having a partner just for the encouragement of going can be really great. And then if you both embrace it, it's something to discuss because, you know, we can just talk about yoga for hours, in my experience.
Sure. And Kent, did you find there was a difference in when you looked at your life at a time when you were doing yoga versus a time that you were not? Do you find that that's something you miss and you'd like to have returned?
Absolutely. I enjoyed it immensely. And his relationship with the yoga teacher, they ended up breaking up, and that made us not go anymore. But I definitely, yeah, I enjoyed it. I always looked forward to my Saturday mornings, and I wanted to start even doing some at home as well, maybe get some type of video or tape, you know, something that I could do some of the yoga.
Could I recommend a DVD for you?
Sure, absolutely.
It's Sean Korn. She has a level one vinyasa flow. And what I love about her is that she teaches with an emphasis on alignment. So when you watch her video, she'll put you in and out of poses in a very safe and meaningful way. She brings a lot of the spiritual into the practice. She's a wonderful teacher, and having the DVD of hers has been really helpful for a lot of my beginning students that have a similar situation to yours where they were practicing and went away and want to get back to it.
And yeah, I definitely have flexibility problems, so I have to do a lot of stretching. So, yeah.
And Kent, did you find in the class that you went to that there were people that waxed and waned and came and went and did it and didn't do it? Did you find that was a common experience for some of your other classmates?
You know, I think I saw a consistency there. There's, okay. You know, the area is in Encinitas, California, and it's definitely known for having a lot of, you know, spiritualism and yoga and that kind of thing. Beautiful. Where I went was a beautiful facility right on the cliffs overlooking the ocean. And so that community, there's definitely a strong presence of that kind of physical fitness there. And so you'd see a consistency with the people that would go normally at this place.
Well, Kent, thank you so much for calling in. Your experience is wonderful. So,
thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. And Megan, for people that have found time in their life, we're about 2 minutes to our break, but people that have found time in their life for yoga, as well as those that haven't thought that they could find the time, what would you say to them, Megan, about yoga and coming back or giving it a try? How would you plug at that? We have about a minute to our break, Megan.
Well, I just hope that for people that have never tried it before, we've demystified the experience a little bit so that you'll feel comfortable going into a yoga class, because as long as you're open and willing, it will change you for the better, for the positive. And if you've fallen away from it, you probably already know what some of the benefits that you were feeling previously. So just start back, let go of the ego. Don't worry about, you know, what it's like going back. You might be afraid that it's going to be hard. But just welcome the experience and give it a try.
And we'll continue our conversation on the other side of the room.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, It was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hyperbike Performance Centers, the extreme motorcycle tuning facility for performance-minded riders. For the most advanced tuning possible, bring your bike in for a diagnostic in their climate-controlled dyno room. Take advantage of their suspension services designed to tweak your bike's suspension till it fits your personal riding needs. All of their performance products are tested in their facility first. Brakes, wheels, alarms, GPS, and more. Hyperbike Performance Centers on Route 40 West, Frederick, or visit hyperbikeperformancecenters.com.
Are you living with passion, purpose, and play? Are you ready to overcome your fears, claim your power and purpose to make your mark on the world, but don't know where to start? Tuck Self, the Rebel Bell, will inspire and empower you to squeeze as much juice and joy out of life as possible. You'll find your passion, live on purpose, and do it all with a boatload of play. Join this amazing voice for Tuck Talk every Monday at 6 p.m. in the East and 3 p.m. in the West on the Voice America Variety Channel. Live rebelliciously and on your terms.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Tuned in to the Navigating Your Life Show with Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. To participate in our discussion, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to host@navigatingyourlifeshow.net. Now, back to the program.
Hi, welcome back. Another caller that we want to get to before we get too much deeper into our conversation. We have Susan, and Susan is calling in from New Jersey. Susan.
Hi, good morning. Dr. Williams, I wanted to know if you thought yoga would be beneficial for children who have an attention deficit problem.
Wow, excellent question. Susan, I'll pose that to you, Megan, please.
Yeah, there are several child classes out there, child yoga classes and child and parent classes. And I know that we offer some here at our studio if you're in New Jersey, so you could actually come around here. There's a lot of specialized classes for not only for children but for prenatal, postnatal. But with attention deficit disorder, you know, it may help to focus start to understand focus a little bit better. And
that's what I would think is, as you know, though, we probably would have to start slowly and with something simple, I would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, and there are instructors out there that are equipped to teach children specifically. There are child training programs out there. So, because teaching yoga to children is very different from teaching yoga to adults. So, they incorporate music, and usually it's live music, you know, a lot of partner work, and it's,
How big would the classes generally be, do you think?
Usually child classes can range anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes.
How big of a,
how
many people?
Usually not more than, I know at our studio we usually don't have more than 8 children.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Susan, thank you so much for calling in. Your questions were very, very good, and we appreciate
you
taking the time. One question that I wanted to ask you to explain to our listeners, what to pose to you, is I understand that as an outgrowth of all of the stuff that's going on for you, you've had time to care about people, and I wanted to for you to share with our listeners what that's all about. And I think that that is really an outgrowth for you of all the centeredness and the level of compassion and care I think is manifested in you having an interest that's larger than you. So please explain to our listeners about your project in Uganda.
Sure. So another part of yoga is karma yoga, the yoga of service, or, you know, just doing for others. And I don't think that I would have fallen into this huge interest in service if it hadn't been for yoga. It was kind of the next natural step on the path for me. And so I spent a week with an organization called Off the Mat Into the World back in July of 2008. They have leadership training programs all over the country. And I really liked what they were about. They were asking people to come together to brainstorm ideas for conscious or sacred activism, which is kind of a new term, although it's been around forever, you know, just the idea of coming from a place of compassion and understanding in order to serve others. And, you know, it was created by Sean Corn, Hala Kory, and Suzanne Sterling, these three yogis. And the question posed is, you know, yoga is a multi-billion dollar industry. So where else can our money be going to benefit one and all? So yogis everywhere are kind of waking up to this idea of the benefits of the practice beyond the physical and getting inspired to help others in their local and global communities. And I really love what Off the Mat is about, so I decided to do their annual service project, which asks individuals to go out into their local and global communities to raise $20,000 for a country in need. And this year the spotlight is Uganda. So we're building a birth center, a school, and sustainable farms to go with both of those facilities. And as of September 19th, I officially raised the $20,000. It took me about 8 months. And now the reward for raising that money is I get to go on the trip with the Off the Mat team to Uganda in February to help lay the brick and dig the wells for these projects. So it's going to be a life-changing experience for me. And, you know, we're still accepting donations. So if you're interested in contributing, there are 124 other people signed up for this challenge right now. And collectively, we've raised over $300,000. And I'd like to support some of those other people get to their $20,000.
Sure. Well, we just want to make sure that people understand that they can find out more about yoga as well as this Uganda project with Off the Mat Into the World by going to your website, which is www.meganridge.com, and that Megan Ridge is all one word. You can also send Megan an email at meganridge@gmail.com.
It's actually meganaridge@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you. So again, it's meganaridge@gmail.com. We know those little letters, if you don't have them all, it's not going to get there. So
my mother, Megan Ridge, is getting all my email this year.
There you go. And her phone number is 484-350-1180. So, Megan, we have a caller, Doreen, that we're going to deal with quickly because we only have a couple of minutes left. So, Doreen, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Doreen. Your question, please.
My question is I have osteoporosis, and I was wondering if yoga could help that condition or hinder that condition.
Sure. Megan, please.
Well, I think that you should try a gentle class. You know, do the research, see if you can find a studio around you. And when you find a gentle class, talk with the teacher. You know, see if they're equipped to help you with what's going on with you. Because some teachers may be up to it, and other teachers might not feel comfortable. But I know for myself that I would feel comfortable working with this student with osteoporosis. So I think that it's definitely worth the search.
Okay. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Doreen.
Yes, it has been. Thank you so much.
Okay,
Megan, we're getting ready to wrap up, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us today. And I hope that in the future we'll have you come back, especially after. When is your trip to Uganda?
It's February 6th to the 18th, I believe.
Wow. Please be in touch with Paula when you get back, hopefully in late February or March. We'll have a chance to talk about how that all went, because I love to hear that. And thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Sure. For our listeners, we want to share with you that coming up in next week's conversation, we're going to be talking about anxiety. And we have a guest, Paula, who's going to be with us. And I cannot say her last name without getting into trouble, so I'm not going to try. But she's going to be talking with us about anxiety, and her book is called Fire in My Mind. So I'm sure that will be an interesting conversation. And we're also going to start a segment where we have a psychologist, a friend of mine, Dr. Craig Paizo, who will join us in the last 15 minutes of the show just to talk from his perspective about the issue that we're talking about for the day. So I wish you all a very exciting week, and I hope that the information that you've received today has been beneficial to you, allows you to have a great day. This is Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams.
Show. Please join Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams again next Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a great week, and here's hoping your life will change for the better forever.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.